Well, good morning, church. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from the great state of Colorado. I'm here visiting my daughter, Lindsay, and my son-in-law, Jeremy, and my granddaughter, Mia. And I want to wish all the moms out there happy Mother's Day. We are blessed to have you in our lives. If you're like me and don't have a mom, my mom went to be with the Lord. This could be a bittersweet holiday, but I'm grateful for all the women in my life that have stepped up and been, have played a part as a mom in my life. I'm just really grateful for those women, particularly one who attends our church, and that is Normie. She's just been a really great influence and a woman who really cares about me and my soul and my family, and I'm blessed to have her in my life. So this morning we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we are on the gifts that say. So we talked about the gifts that know, which are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And then we have the gifts that do. We talked about that, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the working of miracles. And now we are on gifts that say, which is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And so this morning I have the text. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been studying in this portion for the gifts. This is where they are introduced and sort of explained. There are further gifts that we're going to be covering, but this particular portion is where we're at today. So if you have your Bible, turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, and I'll be reading in the New International Version. It says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers, and to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, and to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." So, Father, we pray that you add blessing to your word this morning as we study. God, give us insight, open the eyes, our eyes, so that we can see what the Spirit is doing in the church, and open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Father, I just ask, God, that you would bless this time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, with the gifts that say, right, it really brings to light that God is a God that is communicative. He wants to be able to communicate to his people. And we see that in Scripture. From Adam and Eve on into the book of Revelation, you just see a God who wants and desires to speak to his people. And so these gifts, they sort of enlighten that fact that not only does God want to speak, but there's various ways that he does that, right? And so the gift of prophecy is the first one that is listed here in this category. Now remember the three categories: gifts to know, gifts to do, and gifts to say, and we are on the gifts to say. And this prophecy, the definition of the gift of prophecy, it's a special ability that God gives members of the body of Christ to receive and communicate immediate messages from God to his people that are gathered. And that is done, it could be done as a corporate group or individually, but it's a divine anointed utterance. And I want to say that again. It's a divine and anointed utterance. So the example here is Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, verse 67 through 79. And that was the announcement of Jesus. That was a prophetic word. Not only the fact that Jesus was going to come and has come, but the fact that it was already prophesied. So the meaning of the Greek word for prophecy is prophylatia, and it implies that one is speaking for another, speaking on behalf of God, and we're exhorted to specifically desire to prophesy. So I want to take this opportunity this morning to just sort of help some of you that are really struggling. I know that as a Foursquare church, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the gifts of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And I just want to give a disclaimer this morning as we move forward, because there, you know, in taking the full counsel of God, I understand that tongues are important. I get that. And they are a gift like any other gift. However, whether you possess the ability to speak in tongues or not is the problem. And I think a lot of people get hung up on the reason why they can't. And I'm going to take you back to our text, because the last verse in that section says God distributes to each one as he sees fit, right? So God gives these gifts. And yes, I believe that all the gifts are for me, but that doesn't necessarily mean, excuse me, that I'm going to get all of them. And it certainly doesn't mean that I practice them every single day, right? There are some gifts that are used maybe once a year, or every other year. And there's other gifts that we use every day. Like prophecy is probably a gift that I use almost every day, right? And that's why it's so important. It's so user-friendly. And I think that tongues, it's a great gift, but it's not necessary that you use it every day. In fact, I want to distinguish between the two. We're going to be talking about the gift of tongues this morning, that's specifically in 1 Corinthians, referring to Acts chapter 2, when the believers were anointed with the Holy Spirit, right? That's the gifting that I'm talking about. But prayer language is for another day, another study. So prophecy, getting back to prophecy, it's designed by God, and it's designed by God to strengthen the church, 1 Corinthians 14. It's designed by God to encourage the church, and to comfort the church, and to instruct the church, and to affect unbelievers, right? This is the purpose of this particular gift. It strengthens, encourages, comforts, and instructs all people, whether you're believing or unbelieving, right? So prophecy touches the church at all its points of need. It is based on revelation, the revelation that God's love and care and desire for his people are not only alive and well, but the gift of prophecy keeps those things alive and well, right? It's not enough this gift is meant to build up the church. When someone is bashing the church, they're not necessarily under the gift of prophecy, right? That prophecy has an end in mind, and the end in mind is that the person hearing the prophetic word is encouraged. Like if I made you feel guilty this morning because you don't have the gift of prophecy, or I made you feel guilty this morning because you don't have the gift of tongues or interpretation of tongues, then the gift of prophecy is not working correctly. It must be used to encourage people. It must be used to strengthen and bring comfort to people. And so maybe the comfort I'm going to bring to you this morning is one that if you don't possess these gifts, then you know, that's an opportunity for God in his time to give you the gift. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that you're not as important as everybody else, because maybe you have other giftings. And then that's the thing that should encourage you this morning. So how do we use this gift of prophecy? Well, for those that go to our church, right, we have a worship time. And it is the beginning of May, really. And we probably have all of May with our lockdown. We'll probably have June. We will probably have home fellowships, which means there'll be, you know, five home fellowships with, you know, 10 or around 10 people, and then with five different teachers and hopefully five different worship leaders. And we're going to do that for a period of time until such time as we can open up the church and meet. But even when we do, we're going to go back to church, and we're going to be together under one roof, and all of these rules are going to apply, right? And the rules in terms of how we use it is prophecy can be used in service during worship time. However, it should never be used over the teaching time. Now, let me explain what I mean there. So if I happen to be the worship leader and I'm leading worship, and God puts a scripture on your heart that you think would encourage the body, maybe God's just really burdened you with this, and between songs, you know, when it was appropriate, you read that scripture, or you encouraged people reading, you read that scripture, and you might have a short word of encouragement. That is the gift of prophecy, and it's used at the proper time. If you were trying to give the gift of prophecy when I'm trying to teach, that is not the proper time. And unfortunately, we have seen that within the body of Christ on numerous occasions where, I mean, I've been teaching before, and somebody will interrupt me and say a scripture. And if they would have just waited another few minutes, I had that scripture in my notes to cover. And so when somebody is using the gift of prophecy, like when they're before you teaching, let that person be the only one prophesying. And then when I'm done, or when that person is done, then there's another opportunity and the next person can prophesy. But if everybody's prophesying on top of each other, that is a system that is completely out of order. And God is a God of order, right? So we can use it in service during worship, or if you're called to teach in the church, we can use it in witnessing to people powerfully. Oh my gosh. When you use the gift of prophecy and witnessing, it's a very, very powerful tool. You can use it in teaching, right? When you're teaching the children, or the high school and junior high, or a men's or women's Bible study, this gift of prophecy is going on. Whenever you're taking and communicating the mind and the will of God, you are operating within the gift of prophecy. So you can use it in discipleship, and we know that discipleship is a very, very important thing. We have a men's discipleship group in our church that is awesome. And I think that if you're a man in our church and you need to be discipled, you go to this. And this guy named Jim Brewster, who heads it up, not only that, but our entire men's ministry. And the gift of prophecy, I've been to these meetings, and the gift of prophecy is being used there, even though we're reading out of a book, because whoever's leading that book is sharing or bringing forth the mind and the will of God, right? So that covers the gift of prophecy. Then the next gift here, the gifts that say, are the gift of tongues. So the definition, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, the gift of tongues is a supernatural ability to speak to others and or to God in a language or utterance never learned by the speaker. So that is the definition by Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ. Those are his words and not mine. I happen to agree with them. I have seen tongues used before. I think I've given you this analogy. I went to Bible college for a short period of time in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And when I was there, there was a woman. It was probably 1,000 people in this worship service. And there was a woman there, and she spoke in a tongue. And when the tongue was completed, somebody gave the interpretation. It was a man, and the man happened to be from Africa. And when he gave the interpretation, he followed up the interpretation by saying, "I just want you to know that I come from a very small village in Africa." This woman was a white woman that, when I say white, she was non-African. And what she spoke was the exact language in his dialect that he understood. And it was a beautiful tongue. It was praise to God. It was just a beautiful thing. Well, that language was known to the person who interpreted it. Now, that is one way of viewing tongues. Another way is that it could be an unknown language to both the person who gives the tongue and the person who receives the tongue and interprets the tongue. I've seen both of those, but this is specifically what this is talking about. So there are two approaches here when we go to tackle this gift of tongues. The first is that the gift of tongues, when coupled with the gift of interpretation of tongues, is equal to the gift of prophecy. I don't necessarily believe that. I think that it's not necessarily which one is important or equal to. They're different, and they're different for a specific purpose, for a different audience, for a different time. I think the second approach that I want to talk about suggests that the tongues is an expression or praise to God, and therefore the interpretation is also in terms of prayer or praise or thanksgiving to God himself. The emphasis is that true tongues and interpretation of tongues is directed toward God rather than directed toward directed to God from the church. The man who speaks in a tongue, the Bible says, addresses not men, for he understands not a word he says, but God. And so if you look at that, and understanding that when we speak in tongues, it's praise to God, it's for the edification of the body, but it goes to God from man to God, right? And I think that tongues can never be, you know, somebody interprets tongues with another gift, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. That's not the interpretation of tongues. It's to be a praise to God. It's us praising God or us worshiping God, exactly what this particular viewpoint says, right? Yeah, I'll read it again. The emphasis is that true tongues and interpretation of tongues are directed toward God rather than directed from God to the church. It's not a message to us. It's our praise to God. So the instance, you have the day of Pentecost when they spoke in tongues. We do hear them speak the wonderful works of God in Acts chapter 2:11. And it was God word, not man word, right? And how do we use it? Well, again, this gift is used in the worship service, right? Now, there are some rules and specific to our church that I want to take a moment to give that time. If you want to share in the gift of tongues, don't do it while somebody is teaching, right? It can be during the worship service when there is a break between worship songs. Okay. And if there is a tongue that is shared, then we must wait for somebody in church to have the interpretation of that tongue, or the speaker is to remain silent, right? And that's okay. Sometimes the gift, the first gift of tongues is an action. Somebody speaks in tongues, but the second gift, maybe that person was gifted, but by fear, they didn't step out. They didn't do their job. It doesn't make the person who spoke in tongues look bad or wrong. It's just that there was no interpretation because somebody in the church either does not have that gift or they didn't step up. Either way. It's used during the time of worship and time of prayer time. And however, if you are speaking in your heavenly language in church, right, and you're just praying in tongues, the Spirit is making utterance for you with these groans, right, in the Spirit, that should be really under your breath. It should not be something that could be heard audibly for others, because if it is, then it needs to have an interpretation. Do you get that? Do you understand the difference? If there is an audible tongue, it has to have an interpretation. If it's a gift of tongues, praying in the Spirit, it should be quiet so that nobody else is distracted by that, because sometimes it is distracting. You go, guys, I have to tell you, I you know, these are part of the questions that I have when I get to heaven, when I'm going to ask the Lord, what really is the purpose of tongues? I get the purpose of prophecy. I get that. And I know that tongues are a sign not for those who believe, but for those who believe not. I understand that. But just the whole process of tongues, is it conclusive and successful and as beneficial as the gift of prophecy? I would say no. Prophecy is far more beneficial, period. You know, we can have all these great gifts, but if we don't have love speaking in a prophetic word, then we have nothing, right? So the next gift here is connected. This is the only gift that's connected with another gift, right? So if you have the gift of interpretation, it's directly linked to the gift of tongues. You can't just have an interpretation of nothing. It has to be connected with the gift of tongues. So the gift of interpretation, the definition is the gift of by which God made intelligible what was hidden from all. I'll read it again. The gift by which God made intelligible or understandable that which was hidden from all. The word interpretation here is from the Greek word harmonia. The meaning is explanation or full interpretation, right? It's the ability through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to bring understanding and meaning to an inspired public message of tongues. If one accepts that this gift of tongues is directed toward God in the form of prayer and praise and thanksgiving, exaltation in the name and majesty of God, that's what the interpretation should be. Again, the interpretation is not another gift. It's not a word of knowledge. It's not a word of wisdom. It's not a rebuke. It's not God speaking to the church. It's us speaking to God, right? And I have to emphasize that. And if it's ever done otherwise, I'll pull the person aside and say, I really appreciate you stepping out. However, you stepped into the wrong boat here. That's not how this gift works. And you have to understand, guys, most of the New Testament is corrective measures given to the church. It's not like we started off perfect. We are imperfect. We continue to be imperfect, but that doesn't mean we cannot be powerful, and that does not mean that we cannot be effective. So, the gift of interpretation of tongues will be of the same character, right? Praise, prayer, thanksgiving, exaltation. We should expect the interpretation to be mainly an expression of prayer and worship, and that's just the way it is. So it is in spirit-inspired declaration, and how do we use it? Only when there is a public tongue, the gift is in action, and you pray, God, do I have this interpretation? And you may begin to speak and step out. That's great. Even if you make a mistake, that's great. It's the stepping out that I think God is concerned with. And again, I just want to reiterate, in the big scheme, big picture of things, guys, God wants us to be comfortable with the gift of prophecy because it has far more reaching value than the gift of tongues, in my personal opinion. Now, I may be corrected or rebuked for that in some circles, but I stand by that. If you look at the gift of prophecy in the New Testament, it's far more readily available than the gift of tongues, right? So what does all this mean in applying this? Well, if you continue to read in Acts, you get down to verse 14 of this particular verse, and then it's in Acts chapter 2, and it says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. He said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Right? So what does Joel say? Well, in Joel chapter 2, it says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. So what is this telling us? He's pouring it out on all people. It is not gender specific. The gift is given to all people and to men and to women. Your old men will dream dreams. Now that is specific, right? I'm on the border of an old man, but my son Max is not going to dream dreams. It's for older men. And your young men will see visions, right? That is specific to age, that is specific to gender, but the gift of prophecy is not. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's a beautiful thing that we get from the book of Joel. So, what does all this mean? Well, in applying it to your soul this morning, I want to go back to what I originally said when we started this. Is the number one thing here that you got to take away from this is God is communicative. You say, Pastor Greg, what do you mean by that? Well, God said, let us make man in our image. We are created like him, the Bible says. The desire to communicate is in our DNA. It's in our DNA because that's how God is. He communicated to the rest of the Trinity before he created us. He said, let us make man in our image. That is a form of communication. These gifts assist us in that communication. Prophecy brings forth the mind and the will of God, from God to man. Tongues with interpretation is praise to God from man to God. So that is communication. It's reciprocated. So the role of the Old Testament prophets was to communicate the will of God, the mind and the will of God. That's how the office of a prophet was used in the Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament, Jesus was the Word, and he became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. So then we don't no longer have prophets, we have teachers, and they teach from the Word of God, and the Bible says there is no new revelation. Hebrews says in diverse time or in the old days, God spoke to us in diverse ways through diverse people, but now he speaks to us through the Word of God. It's a loose translation. That is how God speaks to us. So if you want the gift of prophecy, my friend, if you want to communicate that, then you better be in the Word because that's where your source is. All of the prophecy that God wants you to speak is found in his word. There is no new revelation. And if you're seeking one, then remember what Jesus said. A wicked and adulterous world seeks after a sign. And the only thing that's going to be shown that wicked and generous, wicked generation is the sign of Jonah. And we know that to be true, right? So God is communicative. The second thing, in second point here, is God is reciprocal. What does that mean? Well, think of people playing ping pong, right? I hit the ball over the net and the person hits it back and forth, right? It's not enough for us to speak, for God to speak to us. He wants to hear from us, right? He says, I want you to make all of your requests known to me. He taught us how to communicate through the outline of the Our Father prayer that we covered in the Sermon on the Mount on Wednesdays. It's fabulous teaching on that. It wasn't mine, obviously. He taught us how to communicate through that medium, through that. I don't think we're supposed to communicate to God by just stating the Our Father, even though there's nothing wrong with that. But it's an outline, right? It starts with praise. It ends with praise. There's forgiveness and mercy and provision and all of the stuff in there, all the ingredients. God set that up. Jesus set that up so that we would know how to be able to communicate with him. So it's not just God communicating to us. It's us communicating to him. The maker of this world says, look, I want to speak to you. I want to show you things. I want to develop things. I just didn't create you to walk on this earth without there being a reciprocal relationship with regard to communication between the two of us. And I think that if you're walking with Jesus and you don't have that reciprocal relationship where you're hearing from God and God is hearing from you, that is not the model. That is something completely different. That's a different gospel. The gospel is that you communicate to God, he communicates to you. He's reciprocal. Now listen, we worship him, and the Bible says he sings over us. We give to him, and what does he do? He opens the windows of heaven. So the gifts of the Spirit from us are for his glory. And that's just an amazing thing. When we give God an action, there's an action back from him. We give. God says, don't worry about it. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour down blessing upon all those who give. We worship. He says, I'm going to sing over you as well. Guys, that's an amazing thing. That's a God that wants to be in constant communication with his people. And now, for such a time as this, we should be in communication with God. And I told you before, we're seeing the best and worst during this lockdown of the strong in the Lord and the weak in the Lord. Don't be weak in the Lord. This is your opportunity to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And yes, I love church, but we need to be able to do without church. It's going to come to a time, guys, if we're not raptured before the tribulation, we are going to go through a very, very dark time where we're going to need to know how to feed ourselves. My job as your shepherd is to prepare you for that moment. If we get raptured before, awesome. That's great. Then all the preparation still has value, but we're going to be in heaven. What does it matter? So the third thing, the first one, God is communicative. Second one, God is reciprocal. And the third one is God is relational. Now, religion, right? This thing that we're accused of. Religion is this belief and worship of a supernatural controlling power, right? We can't be classified as religion because Christianity, guys, is the very form of Christianity that we practice isn't different to that. Having this controlling force over our life. Yes, God is a controlling force over our life, but the difference is we are in relationship with him. We are in this relationship together through all the ups and downs, right? So in regard to Christianity not being a religion, we need to understand that God is the pursuer and man is the beneficiary. And that's a beautiful thing, right? Romans chapter 8:3 talks about that. The Bible states clearly that there's nothing that man can do to make himself right with God. And what did God do? He decided to make things right with us. He decided that he was going to pay the price. He decided that he was going to be the propitiation of sin. He decided that he was going to send his son to die on a cross. That is all part of a relationship, all part of what these gifts, right? The meaning behind them is they want us communicating with God and they want God communicating with us. you're not in a place where God is communicating to you, and you're not in a place where you're communicating to God, in Jesus' name, get there this morning. Get to that place. It's the place that God has for you. It's where all the power in your relationship with the Lord comes from. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those hearing your word this morning, the gift of prophecy, Lord, that they would be attentive and that they would listen and that they would understand that, God, you want to speak, but more importantly, God, you want us to speak. And so, Father, I pray that as these gifts go both ways, Lord, that you would be blessed and that we would be built up in our faith, Lord, in all areas of our faith. Father, I pray blessing upon your church this morning, Lord, that you cover them, that you protect them, and that you empower them. Church, he has shown you, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now in Jesus' name. If you are listening online this morning and you just stumbled upon this website and were listening to sermons, I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the Bible says that we need to do. And if you do that, you have become a born-again Christian. And if you've made that decision, there is a phone number on our website. Please call that and share this wonderful news with us. And we will pray with you and we will rejoice with you. God bless you guys. We will talk to you on Wednesday.